Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. I did want to talk to you a little bit about a heart of thanksgiving. And then I may tag team a little bit with my son and let him share a little bit tonight. So that could be awesome. This would be the first time ever in my life that, and if y'all would pay special attention to Jennifer as he ministers, because there'll be weeping and crying and all of that. No gnashing of teeth. Oh my goodness. Oh, Philippians chapter 4. This is awesome. Isn't it good just to be family, part of the body of Christ, and just family together? I just love that we can have fun. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful today for Jesus. We're so thankful for what you have done for us, and in giving Jesus your only begotten Son, so that we could be saved, so that we could be delivered, Father. And Lord, we're so thankful for this season. We're so thankful for a time of year that we can be reminded of the things to be thankful for, and that we can refocus and really look to you. And so, Father, we just give you praise. We thank you for family. We thank you for the good that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the good that you're continuing to do in our lives. And we just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And everybody said, amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says this. He says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. We were asking Brooke, hey, so if you were to sing tonight, what do you want to sing? She says, I don't care. I said, I don't know that song, but maybe we could make one up. I don't care, because I cast all my cares on God. That would make a song. Amen. That's a good dad joke right there. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Do you know it's God's design for us not to have to worry or be anxious about anything? How about a bigger amen? It's God's design for us not to worry or be anxious about anything. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said that, you know, that not to take thought for your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear or that sort of thing. He says, for the Father's going to take care of you. The Father takes care of the birds of the air. The Father takes care, and clothes the grass of the field, which in value to us, none of those in value to us even measure up. And so he says, if the Lord takes care, if your Father will take care of them, how much more will he take care of you, O ye of little faith? He just takes care of you. He said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so when you recognize that you have a Father that owns it all, that you have a Father that is the creator, that you have a Father that is the one that, again, I mean, he is the king of the kingdom, and that you are joint heirs with the king himself, then why should we worry? Why should we have a care? Why should we get upset? God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so we can be content with where we are, knowing that God, our provider, God, our supplier, God, the one who loves us, God, the one who redeemed us, God, the one that is sustaining us, God, the one who helps us, is right there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said, I'll not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. And so the next verse there in Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, boldly, confidently say, the Lord is my help. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my help. Say it again. The Lord is my help. And then it goes on to say, so what shall I fear that man would do unto me? It's a change in perspective. It's a change. It's a shift of focus. It's a different attitude. It's a different understanding. We come to the place that we don't care, that we don't have a care, that we don't worry, that we're not anxious, because God sustains us. God provides for us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Somebody say in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this is so powerful. We're just going to look at a few scriptures here. But in everything, in everything, in everything, in everything, in everything, most people wait till they're at the end of the rope before they're going to pray to God. Most people wait till things are desperate. Most people wait till they don't have any hope or that they don't know what to do, and that's when they go to God. In other words, like as long as I can figure out what to do on my own, then I'm good. I don't need God. But here it says we've got to develop an attitude and a lifestyle of acknowledging Him in all of our ways and in everything, going to Him with prayer and supplication. In other words, I want Him to direct my paths. I don't want to direct my own paths. I want God to direct my paths. He sees way further than I do. He can see around the corner. He can see through the wall. He can see through everything and knows what's going on behind the scenes. So what do I want to do? I want to, in everything, somebody say everything. I want to let my prayers and my supplications and my requests be made known unto God. And then it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. If I told every one of you that I was going to give you a $20 bill Sunday morning, if you would show up for church, done. You are here. And probably would take that the 20 of those that did not show up, right? But if I said, hey, guys, I want to give you $20 for helping me do this, so it'll be yours when you get here on Sunday. What is your response going to be? I see you. What's another response? Thank you. Thank you. A lot of times we tell people thank you before we ever see it. You know, if I say, hey, I'll come over to your house tomorrow and help you build something or help you do something or help you clean or something like that, what's your response? Thank you. Why? Because you know that my word is good. And so if I'm going to do it, then you thank me before I actually ever show up to your house. Right? Jennifer's probably thinking, why would you go somewhere else to help them build and clean something when you don't do it in my house? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, we've been doing a lot at the house. But you say thank you. Well, the same thing is true with God. What do? We say, Father, we come to you, and according to your word, you've promised us to supply the need. According to your word, you've said that we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, or you say whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them. And so, Father, I'm just coming to you because you're my Father, and I'm thanking you that I have whatever it is. So the thanksgiving is because He's already given you that which you've requested. Let me show you a scripture to go along with this. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and this is not something that we probably preach as often as we should or that we talk about as much as we should, but this is a striking scripture here in verse 14 that if you would dare to believe would simply change your prayer life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. Okay, this is the confidence that we have in Him. I want to stop there for a moment. I want to explain to you where thanksgiving and a heart of thanksgiving really comes from. It will really come from a place of real faith, of real confidence in who God is. Real confidence in His love for you. Okay? It's not just in His confidence in God in the sense that He's this being that we want to try to believe, but it really is in recognizing how much God loves you. How much He cares for you. Romans chapter 8 says that if God would not or did not spare His Son for us, His only begotten Son, if He did not spare His Son, and he gave his son for us, then it goes on to say, how will he not with him freely give all things? I guess I need to silence my phone. How will he not freely give us all things? Now, the focus here is God, right? And his goodness towards us. And when we receive the love that the Father has towards us, then it's not that we loved him, it's that he loved us. Now, here it says back in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence, the boldness. Remember, we said that we may boldly say the Lord is my help. This is the confidence that I have in him. Now, I also want to take it a step further. I'm trying to make it very personal for just a moment, because sometimes we have a tendency, we can say, well, this is the confidence I have in the Word. And the Word of God stands forever. And that's awesome. And we need to know that we can trust the Word of God, and whatever we read here is absolutely true. But recognize that the Word was spoken by God himself. The Word became a living human being. And that the fact of the matter is that we need to have confidence in the character of God, in the goodness of God, in the love of God, in who he is, to do what he said he would do. I'm having confidence in just his goodness. In Romans chapter 4, it talks about that Abraham believed God, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then it goes on to say that he was fully persuaded. Somebody say fully persuaded. That what he had promised God, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What God, so Abraham's faith wasn't just, sorry, my nose is running just a little bit. Let me catch it real quick. That Abraham, it wasn't that he just believed the Word of God. He believed God. And there's a difference. You can believe the Word of God, and the Word of God becomes very impersonal to you, and it becomes just words on a page, and you can be very legalistic with it and say, well, because it's in it, I believe it, and it's going to happen to me. And God will honor that, but there is a level of relationship with God that goes far beyond just a relationship with words on a page. That Jesus came to restore relationship between you and your Father God, so that you can hear from him, so that you can be led by him, so that you can talk to him, so that he would love you every day and you experience his mercies every day. They are new every morning. And so that I'm not just trying to living an impersonal life with an impersonal word that's an impersonal relationship as I go through hoping that God heals me or hears me or provides for me, but rather I am now believing God himself. I have confidence in him, in his goodness, in his nature, in his love. And so right here it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. I'm confident in him. That if we ask anything, somebody say anything. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now we got to watch the progression here, because what is being declared here is a statement of truth, a statement of fact. There's no wiggle room in this. There's no maybe, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It is a definitive, declarative statement that we can be confident in God, not in this, but in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. So what does that tell me? I just need to know what the will of God is. Oh, yeah, but you don't know. You can never know what the will of God is. Well, yeah, you can. You can know the will of God from two different places, actually from three different places. You can know the will of God just by going to the Word of God. The Word of God declares what his will is. His will is that every man would be saved. So I know that any person that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His will is that every person would be healed, because by His stripes I was healed. His will is that I would be successful. His will that I would be prosperous, because He supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His will is for me to have peace, because Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." His will is for me not to live in fear. And so, because it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. His will is that I live life and have it more abundantly. And so, because Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." In other words, I can go in here and I can find what the will of God is for my life over and over. That's one way to go. Another way to know what the will of God is to look at the life of Jesus. Because Jesus said, "No man has seen the Father at any time." Hebrews chapter 1 says that God in times past spoke to us by men, by prophets, and that sort of thing. But in these last days, He has now spoken to us through His Son, who is the brightness of His glory, the express image or exact copy of Him. And so Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And then He goes on to say, He says, "I only do what I see my Father do. I only do the will of my Father." And so Jesus was the will of the Father in action. Amen. So if He healed disease, how did He approach disease? He healed it. How did He approach demon-possessed people? He cast them out. How did He approach a sin and darkness and all of that? He forgave it. He dealt with all of it. That's the will of God in action. And so if I'm dealing with something in my life, and I can be confident when I go to the Father that I'm praying according to His will, if it has to do with something that does not line up with His kingdom or His will. So here's the deal. It says we can be confident that He hears us. Now, the progression is, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know, not that we think, not that we hope, not that we might have, but we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Wow. Some of us need to be praying more. Some of us need to be communing with our Father more. Some of us need to be dreaming more. Some of us need to allow God to just dream through us, because He has so many things, "eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man," all the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He's got so much prepared for us. Let's dream. But as we see how good God is, what does that do? It produces in us a heart of thanksgiving. Got a couple more things I want to share, but I want to let Seth come up and see if there's something, you know, that he has on his heart. And then I've got one other thing that I want to close with that I think will be a blessing to you guys. Amen. Seth, are you ready? He says, "I guess." So here we go.
Honestly, I have no idea what I'm doing up here, but sure I do. Yeah, we kind of came up with this idea about like 10 minutes before we start practicing worship, so I didn't prepare anything at all. Only thing I could think of right now is John 1, talking about the Word in the beginning. No, wait. I'm in the... Yeah, I'm going to use my phone because I don't know the chapters in this. Let's go to that. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Later on in the Bible, at some point, it does say that the Word was made flesh, correct? I've already talked to you about this, but this was a cool thing. I was reading the Bible, and the Lord was showing me something really interesting, is the idea of Jesus being in the beginning before you know, before the world, the foundation of the world, because he was the Word and stuff. And the idea of the Trinity and everything, because it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The thing is, the Son, before all the Jesus stuff came, it was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit was what it was, correct? What was really interesting is what God did for us. Just trying to go towards thankfulness. You go to... I'm not going to try and get scripture. but you go through... You see, when Jesus comes to the earth, it says the Word was made flesh. And he went through all the stuff and blah, 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 just, you know, was a man. And there's a lot to that. But he dies on the cross, raised 3 days later. And it's a lot harder to talk when you're up here, by the way. it's a lot easier one-on-one because I've never talked in front of a crowd like this. And I tend to talk one-on-one with people, and my brain goes absolutely everywhere, so I'm trying to keep on one subject right now, is the thing. But you go, and you see what Jesus does, and God, you know, he made himself lesser for us. He made himself to our level and showed the standard that we should live up to and stuff like that. But him coming down to our level must have been, you know, not fun. You know, it must have been terrible for him. He's like, this is frustrating, you know, being a man. You know, I'm just assuming. I don't know. But it's interesting seeing that happen and God doing all that. And he changed, not changed, he added to the Trinity in a way. He added a doorway for us in the Trinity. There was no door for us to get through. He completely went through all this just to make it where we could come in and now be one with him in the Trinity, which is crazy. You know, that's a lot of stuff to go through just because he loves us. You know, it's just a thought to think about. I recommend it. but yeah. I'm trying to think what other thankful things to talk about, you know. Being thankful is definitely a powerful thing, but one thing that thankfulness comes from is the Word of God. Everything comes from the Word of God. It will teach you how to be thankful, how to be everything else. But that's one thing God's been dealing on me right now is the power of being in the Word, because, you know, you listen to ministers all the time, and then you're like, oh, that's good, and that's good. You know, you're building up your faith in that way. But, you know... that's milk, and the Word is the meat, and you can only go on milk so long. I'm pretty sure if I, you know, was still breastfeeding at 21, that would not be a good thing. In all honesty, that would not be good. I don't recommend that. I think eventually you need to learn to eat food, you know. And you need to learn to digest the Word is what you need to do. One interesting thing that happens to me, I can see myself whenever I'm in the Word. It's like everything is butterflies and rainbows. Honestly, it is. It's so great. I'm in peace and everything. But you get out of it for a month, and you're just like, what in the world is happening? You know. But it's interesting how you don't, per se, just end up losing all the progress you put in is a thing. You know, it was interesting reading the Word and stuff like that, but then I got distracted with ministry and I was drumming everywhere and stuff like that, and I stopped reading the Word, and it's just like every day progressively got grayer and grayer. Not for say it was just a bad day, it was just like something was different and stuff. But it was like I never saw God stop ministering through me. It was the exact same thing. He was ministering just as much through me, but then towards the end of the month, I saw a filter starting to be put over what he was saying through me. It was like everything he was ministering through me was coming out a more frustrated tone, because I'm just more frustrated. There's no peace, you know, and stuff like that. But yet he's still ministering through me, and I'm seeing people's lives, you know, be touched in a way. But and so God can use you no matter where you're at. You know, he'll use you where you're at. But then you get back into the Word, you digest the Word, and that that's your energy source. That's where you get, that's where you get it from. You know, mixing that with the Holy Spirit are the two most powerful things you can do. But you, yeah, I was about to say something, but I lost it. So I'm thankful for that. I say that a lot. I had something else, but it just left my brain. This is good. I said this earlier. I said this Sunday, but I did a terrible job of delivering it. That this is for the heart, not the head. Also, is one thing to remember, because a lot of people try and use this, and you got those really religious people that will all use this in head knowledge, but not put it towards their heart. They have no heart change. It's just a lot of they just know it. I mean, you can know a movie, and that'll do nothing for you. You know, you can know anything, and it won't do anything for you. But you know, people say knowledge is power. I think there's more power in wisdom. See, my brain's going everywhere. But the thing is, there is more power in wisdom. I heard an interesting thing one time. It's like knowledge is kind of like this. Knowledge is the understanding of there's an issue. And then I forget what the second word would be, but there's another way of you know what caused the issue. That's two things that are knowledge. But the thing is, wisdom is when you know how to deal with the issue is the thing, how you know how to handle the issue. That's a lot more powerful than knowledge. And I'm thankful for that. We're trying to teach on thankfulness. So I cannot remember what that last thing was at all. If I think of it. Yeah, here you go.
It's awesome. Awesome. There you go, right there. Y'all were here the first time that Seth shared really with the church. That's amazing. And I'm thankful for that. All right. I said that there were three ways to know the will of God. I mentioned the Word. I mentioned looking at the life of Jesus. The third way is through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, when you don't know what to pray for, He prays through you, and He'll make intercession for you. And so just being in a place that you're praying in the Spirit and that you're allowing the Spirit of God to pray through you, He will pray the will of God through you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that when we pray in an unknown tongue, we are edifying ourselves, but we're not speaking to men, we are speaking to God. And the Spirit of God prays through us. All right, very quickly now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I just want to look at verse 10 because it's about perspective. It's about attitudes. It's about it's about how you're approaching things. We live in a very unthankful society. Can I have an amen? A lot of people may even say, man, the Thanksgiving season is around. I hate Thanksgiving. That's kind of that's an oxymoron. That's the opposite. It's a time to be thankful, but yet you hate the season. And so we need to look at and approach things better. Politics have come in and really divided the nation. And so we tend to be unthankful or to complain or to gripe. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 10 says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. He's talking about to the children of Israel. Here they were. God was providing for them in the wilderness day after day. They wake up. There is fresh manna every day. Can I tell you that every day when you wake up, there is fresh manna for you. There is fresh bread from heaven. And His name is Jesus. His mercies, like I said before, they are new every morning. And so there is provision for you for whatever you need every single day. And what was happening is the children of Israel, here they were. They were seeing the provision of God every day, but yet they were complaining about the provision of God. I'm tired of this manna. Heard one guy say, I'm tired of banana bread. I'm tired of this manna. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for that dad joke? Bamana. So they said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? As if God the creator couldn't do it. They tempted God. They limited God. So they said, we want meat. God gave them meat. They still complained. They still murmured. And so the destroyer came in and destroyed them. They needed to be in a place of thankfulness, because an attitude of griping and complaining and murmuring, what it did is it conditioned their heart that by the time they got to the place that God was trying to bring them, that God had provided for them, that God said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, that you're only going to have to experience this for just a short period of time, but I have already given you this land. I have already got plans for you. I've already got dreams for you. I've already got all kinds of things laid out for you. And so just follow me. Just trust me. Just be thankful to me. If they had just done that, then they would have been conditioned to receive from God. But what happened is, because of their murmuring and their complaining, and that's all they did over and over and over again, everywhere they went, that by the time they got to the place that God was trying to bring them into, they did not believe. Can I tell you that murmuring and griping and complaining will produce unbelief in your heart? It comes out of unthankfulness, but what it will do is it will cause unbelief to grow. And when you come up to a time that God is trying to bring you into a place of a new season in your life, of a new business, of a new opportunity, because your life had been conditioned to gripe and complain and not look at the provision that God had already been giving you, you may miss God's greatest blessing for your life because of murmuring and complaining, griping. In other words, instead of being thankful for where you live, being thankful for the job, you're griping about your boss, you're griping about the house, being thankful for your spouse, instead of being thankful for him, and instead of thanking God for the good things that are in them, you pick out the two or three things that bother you, and those are the things that you gripe about. Instead of being so thankful for your children, you focus on the areas that your children really annoy you. You know, instead of being thankful for your car, you know, you gripe and complain because it wasn't the car that you want, or it's about to break down. Instead of being thankful for the amazing country that we live in and for our government, we gripe and complain because of the people that are running the government. See? And as a society, we have become a society of protesters and murmurers and complainers, instead of becoming a society of people that of thankfulness, that are looking forward with hope, and that are appreciating the gifts and honoring the gifts that are in everybody. Paul said, first of all, to Timothy, he said, first of all, I exhort you to exhort all men to, through prayer and supplication, to give thanks for all men, especially for those that are in rule over you in government. A heart of thankfulness. Turn with me over to this last scripture. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, talking about Jesus, by him, through Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We need to have a lifestyle of giving thanks to God and praising him continually. Another scripture says, giving thanks to him in all things, in every situation, in every circumstance. I'm giving him thanks. Why? He's got the provision for me. I'm giving him thanks tomorrow as I meet with family members that I don't want to meet with. I'm just using that as an example. I'm excited to meet with all my family members. But I'm just using that, you know, some people's like, I don't want to go. This person's going to be there. This person, be thankful for the opportunity, maybe to minister to them, be thankful for the opportunity to be a light, be thankful for the opportunity to meet with family. Just find areas in your life every day for thankfulness to just be thankful. To be thankful. Let's be thankful. And before we close and before we pray, Shane, do you have anything that you want to share to add to that? And we're thankful that we've had Shane and his wife staying with us for tomorrow will be 4 weeks, and we're thankful. That's been amazing. And I haven't pulled all my hair out or anything like that. It's another dad joke. My kids are so thankful for my dad jokes. And praise God. Amen. No, it's been awesome. We had a great time of fellowship, great time of ministry. And so thank you for spending this season with us. And so they're going to get to experience an American Thanksgiving tomorrow. I guess probably almost for the first time for the whole family, right? So we're thankful for that. All right. So let's just pray and let's just be thankful to the Lord. Father, we thank you. 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 We thank you, Father. Lord, just reveal to us areas in our lives that we've had a negative outlook, a complaining outlook, a murmuring outlook. We don't want to open any doors that would allow destruction to come into our life, but rather that a heart of thankfulness keeps us in that place of faith, keeps us in that place of security, keeps us in that place of confidence in you and confidence in your love towards us, and for us just to be reminded that we've been forgiven for so much and to be just, you know, just to be removed from the kingdom of darkness into your kingdom. That's enough for us to be thankful about. That you said in your word that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust because we're now partakers of the divine nature. Man, what an amazing promise to us that we're your children. Jesus, you said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That we are now free, that we have liberty. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that along with Jesus, you have freely given us all things. And so because so much has been forgiven, so much has been dealt with on the cross, we can love much. To him who much is forgiven, that person will love much. So really, Father, thankfulness comes out of a revelation of your love towards us and a response of our love towards you. How can we not have a grateful heart? Father, help us to have a thankful viewpoint, a thankful eyes as we look at our family members, as we look at our relationships, as we look at our circumstances and the situations that we're in. Help us to find those areas of thankfulness. And just to give you praise, let our lips continually offer thanksgiving, continually offer praise. Can we just lift our hands right now and just say thank you? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just find some areas just right now in your own life to be thankful to him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Had some fun tonight, but now let's just focus on him. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Father, for a thankful heart. For a thankful heart. I'm reminded in Colossians chapter 3, where we're told to set our affections on things that are above and to keep them set there, not on things on the earth, that as we look to the reality of the Spirit, as we look to the reality of heaven, as we look to what has been given to us, joy will arise, faith will arise, love will arise, new understanding will arise, gratefulness will arise, peace will arise. The rest of that scripture in Philippians 4:6 says that when we respond to God in thanksgiving, it says the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So I make the decision not to focus on circumstances that don't seem to go my way, but I'm going to focus on the goodness of God, because He will make everything work out to my good. And so I'm thankful for that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, if there's anybody that's watching by live stream or anybody here that has been experiencing sickness, right now we just declare healing by the stripes of Jesus. We are thankful. Get into a place of thanksgiving, because God's already provided it for you. God's already done it for you. He's already made it freely available to you. Now you have to posture yourself just to receive. Not when will God do it, but that He's already done it, already made available. So, Father, I receive that. And so if you believe that it's already done, the natural response is thanksgiving. Now, thank you, Father, that I'm healed. Thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that I'm healed because you're faithful that promised. I'm fully persuaded that what you promised, you have done, are able to do. And this is the confidence that I have in you, that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. I'm your son. And if I know that you hear me, then I know that I have that whatever it is that I desire. And so even as we go into the Christmas season right now, as you become more thankful, listen to me, expect God to increase you. The things that you're believing God for, that you're asking Him for the Christmas season, for your family, that you'd like to see happen before the end of the year. Don't begin to think that you only got just a few weeks left and so therefore there's not enough time for God to make it happen. Nope, you've got to move towards Thanksgiving still. I'm telling you, I just feel impressed by the Spirit of God. Press on. Press on in thanksgiving to God concerning what He can do between now and the end of the year. Press on into that. And don't look at the short time. This is a word for somebody. But don't look at the short time as if that now there's not a time for it to be done. Get back to a place of thanksgiving. Receive from Him. And just stay focused on Him. And watch what happens. Amen.